You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
He's Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What exactly is it that we do?
We boss up
and get a people.
Yes.
What
they want.
Jalen, we have so much to discuss. Joel Embiid had 49. Jokic had 50. Jokic had a 49-point triple-double. But we start the show with the Los Angeles Lakers. Going into the game, the Pacers had lost four in a row. And here come the Lakers. Lakers going to win this one. Nope. Caris LeVert had 22 in the fourth quarter. Some of those were on Russell Westbrook, who was asked to sit down on the bench to close out
Pull
the game.
Pull over!
Mr.
Pull
Rose.
Pull over!
How do you feel about Mr. Westbrook being asked to take a seat for the final 3 minutes and change of this
I'm one? I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised at all. I'm not mad at those Pacer uniforms, but they ain't got nothing on the pinstripe ones we wore. With that being said, who didn't see this coming?
I didn't see this coming. I didn't know they would bench him in a close game in the fourth quarter.
If you can't make perimeter shots and you can't make layups and you turn the basketball over and we're still trying to win the game, you have to come sit over here next to me. That's just how sports work.
Also, according to our colleague Dave McMenamin, he got some information saying that there was a scouting report on LeVert saying that he goes right to take away his right hand, and he was going right past Russell Westbrook to his right, which is really what led to him being taken out of the game.
Well, now, I can look deeper into that box score. Shout to our guy, Dave. Every time somebody scores in an NBA game, they score past somebody. So I ain't even about to even. As somebody that's not known for his defense, everybody who didn't play, trust me, they scored how many points yesterday? At least 90 or 100, they were on somebody besides Russ. That is because of how he's struggling offensively. Yes, you put him on the bench when Caris LeVert is scoring on him. But Caris LeVert is a 20-point scorer. He scores 20 points every night.
22 in the fourth quarter.
Okay. And so, yes, it's disappointing the effort that Russ showed on that end of the floor. But if he was able to make plays offensively, be in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And so, what's next? Here's what's next. Get used to that. That's how the game works. Like, so many people look at sports and think everybody gets the LeBron, KD, Steph Curry journey, where they get to play 35, 40 minutes, be all NBA, and NBA in the MVP conversation. Like, there's a reason why these guys are all-time greats. And then it's everybody else. People have to adjust their roles. And one of the things I see now in Russ, he's played with all of the top players in the game.
Mm-hmm.
When he was young, he played with KD and Harden, played with Harden again in Houston. He's played with Paul George. He's played with Sabonis.
Beal.
Played with Bradley Beal. Now he's playing with LeBron James. The difference in this situation versus all of those other situations is his role is continuing to diminish. And when you go from being the guy in OKC, where they probably going to give you a statue, may still should, till now playing a role with the Lakers, you ain't got no room for error. When I was playing with Bird in 98, y'all was watching The Last Dance and everybody was loving MJ. Larry put me to the side. He was like, if he's scoring you twice, I'm taking you out. I'm like, it's Michael Jordan. He's going to score on me.
Hold him scoreless?
I'm like, yeah. I'm like, he knows he's going to score on me. You know what I'm saying? And so I feel like for Russ, when he's struggling, they're going to bench him. They're not going to look at him as, oh, that's Russell Westbrook. He's back home now. And another thing about Russ and Melo, I'm going to put Melo in this because he returned yesterday. He really struggled mightily defensively in that game too.
Yes.
They're not going to get the post play for the Lakers happiness that many people get. A lot of people are going to remember their Hall of Fame careers, but Lakers fans ain't going to necessarily be happy that they were wearing those uniforms. You know why? Because they're not going to win a championship in it. And that's what they're looking for every time they see the purple and gold.
Just worth mentioning, Joel Embiid and LeBron James, every time they're on the court, they get 30 points. LeBron James, he's averaging 29 points something. Like, LeBron James scored 30 in this one, too. He's having an MVP caliber season. However, his team is below 500 and lost 4 or 5.
But the thing is about their journey, Jacoby, we've gotten so to the point where we feel like it's a rite of passage for the best player to always be on the best team. That ain't the case. Michael Jordan spoiled us. Bill Russell spoiled us. LeBron is playing excellent this year. He win a championship. And that's okay. The Lakers have already invested in the LeBron James AD championship.
Mm-hmm.
To keep LeBron and AD and THT, and to add Russ, you lose Kuzma, you lose Caruso, you lose Ball,
you lose ACP,
you lose Ingram. To start the process, you lose Randall. Like, these are all things you do to invest in that bubble championship.
Got it.
They got it.
So why am I crazy? We're going to move on. Why am I crazy to think that even with all of this, a healthy AD, a healthy LeBron, Westbrook finding his role, this team is still a team that is a threat to win the West?
Here's why. I got a pecking order for you. In the West, to me, Warriors, Suns, different category.
Mm-hmm.
And then now I'm looking at how Memphis is playing and how Utah the last couple of years has consistently playing. They're right there. But here's why your question is really important. The Lakers healthy were playing against Memphis or the Utah Jazz in the playoffs with the way LeBron James is playing, I'm picking the Lakers.
I'm picking the Lakers too. And I think it's also, before we move on, worth mentioning the Mavs.
That's why. They've
been playing well lately as well.
But that's why.
Yeah, and then you get into a 7-game series with a healthy AD and LeBron, and Westbrook can figure out his role. I saw this thing that said there's 46% chance they make the playoffs. I'm like, make the playoffs? This team is going to make the playoffs.
The head coach of Memphis, Taylor Jenkins, and a guy who's come out of practically nowhere and played really well, Desmond Bane, they will tell you why they're underdogs against the Lakers, LeBron, and AD. Because they've been there, done that. That's just how the game goes.
Jalen, Joel Embiid played 27 minutes. Keep that in mind. He played 27 minutes against the Magic, scored 50 points. Only Klay Thompson has scored 50 quicker than him, and he did it in 26 and change, and he hit 14 threes. Joel Embiid did it differently, did it efficiently, scored 50 in 27 minutes last night.
That's incredible for a big guy. Look at him going coast to coast, behind the back. And winning. But here's what I want to say about how the game has changed. And I want to give him a shout for playing with pace. Sometimes he massaged the ball too much and go too slow into his moves. That's how you get 50 in 27 minutes. You notice these moves? He going quick.
Yep. Catch and move.
This is something he learned to do without Ben Simmons. See, he wasn't doing this before. Not consistently. You know why? That takes stamina. And he in shape now. You know why he has stamina and he's in shape? Because he's healthy. Usually Joel Embiid has to miss practice. He has to miss games. And so now when he's playing, sometimes he looks fatigued. Now both of those things are working in his favor and he's been extremely dominant. But I got to also say how the game has changed. There was a time, David Jacoby, when Arvydas Sabonis, Ben Gordon, and Jalen Rose were the only people to score, I believe, 30 points in less than 30 minutes.
Really? Shout out to Arvydas Sabonis, one of my favorite players of all time.
Now this man is scoring 50 points in 27 minutes?
Wild.
That is incredible.
Well, at least to this question is, you look at, we talked about the tiers in the West. You talk about the tiers in the East as well. We can get into that. But you don't really talk about the Sixers as contenders in the Eastern Conference. A lot of that has to do with the fact that Ben Simmons is not playing. He's an all-star player. They haven't got anything back for him.
Yep.
We keep hearing about rumbles about little packages. The latest is the Kings put together a package.
I'm not going to be able to do it.
You don't even want to hear about it.
Yeah.
Halliburton's involved.
So would you say the Kings?
Field.
You say
Barnes.
Kings. Yeah, you say Kings.
And for Ben, they didn't just want Ben Simmons for that. They wanted Ben Simmons and Tobias Harris.
You mean King James?
No.
Sacramento Kings?
Sacramento Kings.
I'm not going to be able to do it. Voicemail.
Yeah, it's voicemail. All going to voicemail. Yes, it's all going to voicemail. So my question for you
and
is,
you know, I love Haliburton.
With the season that Embiid is having, and is it somewhat of a waste to have Embiid have this season and still not truly be in contention in your own conference?
It's not a waste. Let me tell you why. Just like I said with LeBron, the beautiful thing about sports is the best player don't win it all every year.
Mm-hmm.
Joel Embiid ain't winning it this year. That ain't going to take away from the fact that his season is incredibly dominant. And I'm happy for him because he now can perform consistently. We knew he had this game. But how about this, Jacoby? Call an archaeologist. As we get into the next topic, ain't we going to talk about the Joker?
Eventually.
Okay. Big men have returned the NBA.
Oh, yeah.
We talk so much about the guard play.
Wings.
So talk so much about the wings. But this is a tall man's game. And I love Steph Curry just like anybody else. But when he and KD at the park, and I got my shirt off, and I lose, and I got to wait 5 games, who you picking?
Why you got your shirt off?
Shirts and skins.
Okay. I'm picking KD.
Correct.
I'm picking KD.
Why?
Because he's 7 feet tall and he
can
get jumpers.
Boom. Because he's taller.
Play defense and all of that and rebound.
Being taller allows you the opportunity to play defense.
Jalen.
A little bit better.
It is time. Soft move or boss move? T.I. says that he wears
family
Air Force Ones once.
That's no surprise.
Either donates them or disposes of them. That is shocking to me. Once? One time?
Jacoby, you are a throwback, dog. You wear all types of trendy gear. When the last time you wore a pair of Air Force Ones?
I got a ton of pair of Air Force Ones. I haven't worn them in a while, but I got some on ice.
I'm glad y'all put that picture up there. After you wear Air Force Ones once, they ain't crisp no more.
No, those are like after 10-20.
They ain't crisp no more.
Jalen, you're rich.
When you first get them, they tidy whitey and they're not bent at the top of the on the top.
You know one of the reasons I don't like this.
They bend up.
You know one of the reasons I don't like this? Because T.I. and Mike Tyson tried to take my spot. You remember this? Let's play the sound. Do you remember this, Jalen?
My guys.
Tip and Mike and Tip.
I like that. Because I see Jalen Rose has his little guy with him, Jalen and Jacob.
Right. So I'll be the little guy.
Tip and Mike. Tip and Tyson.
Tip and Tyson. You dig what I'm saying?
Jalen Rose.
And they gave that.
Jalen Rose has his little guy with him, Jalen and Jacob.
You know what? Shout out to Mike. We're going to get my brother on the show. Shout out to Tip. That's my dude. I love Tip. And Tip, I'm riding with you on people doing right their own rhymes. I'm riding with you on that. With that being said, Michael Tyson, this is your chance, David Jacoby, to respond. This is your camera. Respond to Mike. Let him know you don't deal with that disrespect. Tell Mike Tyson.
You want me to tell Mike Tyson that I'm not dealing with that disrespect?
Yeah.
You know, I would never, ever do that. For some reason, you always want to get me beat up by Mike Tyson. I'm not doing that. We're going to break.
You see, Jake Paul?
I love you.
Jake
I'm scared
Paul?
Of you, Mike.
Look what he did
I'm
for Jake Paul.
Of you, Mike. I respect you very
Jake
much.
Jake Paul.
Go to break.
You could be the next Jake Paul.
Go to break before Tyson beats me up.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Coming to you live above the Heineken River Deck here at the Seaport, New York City. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Rose. The Nets were on the road to play the Wizards. Do you know what that means?
Nobody beats the Wiz.
The Nets do when they have Kyrie Irving. And Kyrie Irving played really well in the absence, of course, of Kevin Durant. 30 points, 7 assists in a really close game against the Wizards. What do you think about Kyrie and his back?
Kyrie was just dazzling. It was a really close game, as you mentioned. Harden was really productive. I want to shout out LaMarcus Aldridge.
Yeah.
Two pickups that people aren't talking too much about that they should are Patty Mills and LaMarcus Aldridge and what mm-hmm. they really mean for the Nets, how productive they've been, how professional and how efficient they've been. And so for Kyrie to go to the Wizards and get a victory without KD, it's going to need to be a lot more of this if you're the Nets.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, Kyrie is a part-time player. You already know you're going to get him only 3 or 4 games in any series that you play. So you can't really state how much it's going to mean for them based on their seeding, because the further you continue to fall, that means more teams have game 7 on their home floor.
Mm-hmm.
And 80% of the time when a team has game 7 on their home floor, they win. So now I'm watching these standings now. KD out. I'm looking, oh, here come the Heat.
Well,
okay, the Bucks big 3. Okay. Now all of a sudden, if both of those teams have game 7 on their home floor, Nets going to be in trouble.
I don't know if you want that, though, because the Nets have the road court advantage. They've got Kyrie. Imagine you're up 3-2 in a series. It goes back to your own gym, and you're looking at Kyrie being added to a team that you haven't played.
See, I purposely said it that way because just because they have Kyrie, that don't mean they're going to win on the road. 80% of the time, that team wins.
It's a better chance of winning with Kyrie on the road than there is without Kyrie at home.
Of course.
It's a better chance of
course.
Winning. So if I'm the Nets, I'm not tripping if the seeding isn't working for
okay. me. Let me tell you what the Heat would rather have. They would rather have home and Kyrie playing versus being on the road and Kyrie not playing. How about that?
Well, the Heat are playing well, I will tell you that. But it's time for you and I to do something, what we need to do, we have to break
they're going
to
retire my guy Udonis Haslam's number.
It is time for us to go to the table. Jalen.
What up?
Critical point of the game between the Wizards and the Nets.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what happened. It's a pass going to the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Leaves to Kyle Kuzma. And the assistant deflected the pass. Jalen, how does this happen in an NBA basketball game?
It's just a reflex, really, and getting too caught up in the moment. But you got to keep yourself controlled, and you got to stay out of the way and stay out of the game. Mm-hmm. But also, if you're the ref, you got to see it.
You got to see it. The ref's right there.
Yeah, that's the whole
thing. The ball went right in front of the ref's face.
How many balls out there?
One.
That's a trick question.
That's not a trick question. But here it is. Look, like, do you think the assistant coach meant to do that, or was it just like a reflex from playing basketball for 40 years or whatever?
If it would have been going to one of his players, he wouldn't have did that. That's why I call it a reflex.
Yeah.
He literally, like, think about it. You get so invested. You yelling, here come the help. Here come the rotation. Mm-hmm. Da, da, da. They go to the ball like, ain't nobody going to see it. Like,
so, Jalen, take us behind the curtain. When you are shooting a corner three in front of the opposing bench, does it bother you how much they're yelling at you and getting in your face and how close they are to you?
It makes you concentrate more.
Really?
It does.
I've always wondered, because they really get in your face and scream at you when you're shooting the corner three
on
the bench.
I much rather be contested. I much rather be under duress, people screaming at me, than the whole world see the ball coming to me and I'm wide open. And I must make
it. Have you ever had the bench scream at you while you're shooting a corner?
Every time.
And have you ever not turned around and said something or looked at them after you made
it? You have to.
That's the reflex.
That's the reflex. Because you got to remember something. These are your colleagues, your friends, your former teammates. So they got some funny commentary. It ain't just like miss. You know what I'm saying? They like, he with us or whatever. Like, yo, you was with me last night. I know you. I know the legs tired.
Jalen. The man I call the stretch mark 5.
My guy.
Current MVP last season.
My king.
Nikola Jokic. Listen to this stat line. 49 points, 14 rebounds. Mm. He had 9 assists until the game was on the line.
Look at that pass.
And he got the game-winning assist.
Look at that pass.
The game and the triple-double.
Bam. That's a center.
One-handed.
Hold on. That's a center. He's 30 feet away from the court. I mean, from the hoop. He's so dominant and he's so skilled. You're double-teaming him out there.
Double-teaming him 29 feet from the basket with the game on the line.
And he's so talented. Throws a laser pass across. Tell me the last time you saw somebody make that pass.
I mean, I've seen that pass before, but if you he's like a quarterback going through his progression.
His size.
Look, he doesn't want to go to him. He's not open. He's
correct.
Not open. Makes the perfect pass. It was like watching a quarterback go through his progressions in the pocket.
Right in the bread basket. And when that ball in the air, I swear, Aaron Gordon got to hit this.
It's a good point, because one thing people don't talk about is the accuracy of the pass.
Correct.
Especially from Jokic.
Right in my bread basket,
right,
baby.
Right where he could shoot. Uh-huh. And that wasn't his only play. 49 points, 14 rebounds, 10 assists.
He's balling so much that Joel Embiid might not be first team center if we had to choose. How about that?
Mm-mm. I would probably pick Jokic over Embiid right now. But
the rebounds and assists. Splitting hair, but Joel give you the defense. But the point is how dominant they both are and how they do it different. When I say Joel is the most powerfully dominant, I mean just that. I mean going through Clint Capella's chest and dunking on him in the playoffs versus Jokic throwing a 35-foot pass across the court to a teammate for a game winner and a triple-double.
Yep.
Hold on. Go to commercial. 49-point triple-double? Jeez.
He said, hold on, go to commercial.
That's crazy. I need a chance to process this.
Friday night on ESPN at 7 o'clock, you have the Countdown crew with NBA Countdown, Jalen in a suit.
Yes,
and
indeed.
Then at 8 o'clock. It is two of the best teams in the Eastern Conference. The Bulls traveling to Milwaukee to take on Giannis and the Bucks.
The Bulls might be in trouble that night.
Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, do you remember when Dak Prescott had 14 seconds left and took off running and then boxed out the ref to lose the game? Well, naturally people ask questions about Mike McCarthy and the safety of his job. And here's what the head coach, for now, of the Cowboys had to say.
You ever get used to speculation about your job security? How do you deal with that?
I think, you know, internally, and I think for people in this profession, they, you know, it's accepted. You know, it's part of the job. You know, I get that. I understand why you're asking the question. It's part of the job. You have a job to do, and I have a job to do here today and answer your questions appropriately and respectfully. But, yeah, I don't put a lot into it because I know what I personally put into this. You know, I understand what goes on here every day. I know how to win. I know how to win in this league. I know how to win playoff games. I know how to win a championship.
Mr. Rose, you know what this says to me? Let's check in about 12 months. I think he got one more season.
He was basically saying, and I'm one of the only people in this building that knows all of these things. That's what he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're firing me, I ain't necessarily the only issue. But here's my issue. It's only one current African-American coach in the NFL. Kellen Moore and Dan Quinn are both head coaching candidates. They already have Mike McCarthy. And that team leads the league in penalties? That's coaching.
We'll be back tomorrow at 4 o'clock.
Because that's why they lost.
On ESPN something. We always say we give the people what they want. Part of that is doing podcast exclusive content for our podcast listeners. 49 for Jokic. 50 for Embiid. But those weren't the only people that were balling last night, Mr. Rose. The Dallas Mavericks have one of the best defensive teams in the league. No one's talking about that. Dallas Mavericks have one of the best defensive teams in the league. Porzingis is going to come back from health and safety protocols.
Mm-hmm.
They've been playing well recently. Luka Doncic, a casual 41-14-7 against the Raptors.
Yep.
Now, when you talk about the tiers in the Western Conference, I have to be a little critical. I feel like they belong in that Grizzlies, Lakers tier. That Grizzlies, Lakers, Jazz tier. I'm putting them in that tier.
That's fair. With an asterisk. You still need to see Porzingis ball.
Listen, he's been playing better this year. He was out because of COVID. Nothing you can do about that. But it's not like he's hurt. you know, he's got to sit in the bench because of the COVID. You got to sit in the house and play video games or whatever.
Yep.
But if he picks up where he left off, I think that can really help them.
Well, sometimes it takes a man to admit when you're wrong. And it takes a human being to admit that they're wrong. And I was asked to compare Luka and Ja. And who do I think I would want to build around if I had to choose one today?
I was asked that too, and it's easy for me.
The answer is Luka.
Luka, yeah. It's not even close. Like, I thought the question was stupid.
Well, no, I understand why you quote unquote say it's not close, but he's just able to do things that Ja isn't able to do yet. He's accomplished things that Ja hasn't accomplished just yet. And then there's the basketball portion of it about, like, his size. Now, when you're built the way Luka is, that now makes you like a different level of an offensive weapon. If you notice how now he can go in and pace and put you on his hip and turn around and Now, if you look at the percentages, I think they're comparable shooting the three this year, but Luka's more of a volume shooter. I'm pretty sure he's shooting two times more threes than Ja Morant attempts. But also, Ja Morant here recently was first in the league in layups and dunks. First.
He's third.
No, in layups and dunks, he's first. You're talking about points in the restricted area. That's behind Jokic and Embiid. And so I bring that up because while he's first in layups and dunks, somebody like Joel Embiid, who had 50 last night, is 27th. That means he getting to the bucket.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? And so their games are distinctly different. Luka ain't there for the layup. When you really watch him play, most of his points ain't layups, and I don't know if he's ever dunked.
No, he wants to get you around 8 feet, and then he takes a one-footed turnaround, which is so nice to see in that uniform, but it looks different than Dirk's because he does a lot more fade because he's not 7 feet tall.
I love both clearly, but I want to know what you think you just answered. J&J fans think, call 98580 Jalen. Who you building around?
Luka.
Luka or Ja? IG fam, Jalen versus everybody fam.
So here's
who you building around?
Here's why it's easier.
Luka or Ja?
Three things: size, shooting, playmaking for teammates. That's simple. You know, and also Luka, ever since he was the first 10 games in the league, he just seems like, he reminds me of AO from N1. Remember Aaron Owens?
Of course.
He just seems like he's playing in third gear and everyone else in fifth gear, but no one can fluster him. Yeah. No one can fluster him. Like, he's just easy with the ball.
And so as you do those Western Conference tiers, because we purposely just going to respect the Golden State Warriors and the Phoenix Suns and not even waste their time entering them in this conversation, because they're in a whole different level right now in the West. Shout to both of those squads. They're on the collision course to make it to the Western Conference Finals. But everybody else, I ain't mad at what you said. Utah disappointed me in the playoffs the last 2 years.
They disappointed me this year.
And they've struggled recently.
Yeah. Defensively, too.
Correct. We loved Rust driving down the lane and dunking all on Utah. The problem for the Jazz is he was dunking all on Utah.
It was Gobert specifically, and it wasn't chest to chest. It was a little from the side, help defense, but they've got a great defender in Gobert, but he cannot make them a great defensive team.
You know what I was watching them thinking?
What were you thinking? What were you thinking, Jalen?
I wonder how long Donovan Mitchell is going to be there, is what I was thinking.
Well, let me say this. The last two playoffs, have they disappointed?
Yes, they were up 2-0.
Well, that Nugget, remember the Nugget series in the bubble when Jamal Murray and him were going back and forth, and then, you know, this dude scoring 60, this other one scoring 40.
Conway said it in the song, 50 and 50, like Murray and Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, here's what you don't interrupt, though. You don't interrupt when you have the opportunity to be the face of a franchise. I was talking to Willie Green, head coach of the Pelicans. And he was telling me about a time when he played with AI. And he said AI specifically told him, I shouldn't have never asked out of Philly.
Really?
That was the biggest mistake I ever made. And I also thought about somebody else that I talked to about this. Dwayne Wade. See, people forget he left Miami. Remember, he's actually a member of the Cleveland Cavs with LeBron.
And, you know, LeBron had to co-sign the fact that he was traded. They had to have a conversation about that at the trade deadline.
Remember, there was a time when Rajon Rondo was upset about how Dwayne Wade and who was that? Was that Jimmy Butler?
Where?
In Chicago.
Oh, I forgot about the Chicago stint, too.
That's why I'm here for you.
Yeah.
That's what
Chicago,
I'm saying.
Chicago, Cleveland, and then the Heat.
He was on the struggle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the reason why I bring up AI, the reason why I bring up D-Wade while I'm talking about Donovan Mitchell is this. When you leave these situations, you ain't the dude no more. When Dame leave Portland, he ain't the dude no more. You see what I mean? So when you got that chance to be that guy, you do it for as long as you can. And so I bring that up in a context of like, I'll give you a perfect example of a player this works against. I'll give you how this, excuse me. I'll tell you how this interrupts the psyche of fans and media. And I'm going to use the exercise for three players.
Hidoki Smokey.
The first one, Paul George. Paul George is a terrific NBA player, ain't he?
Oh, yeah.
He might, like when Paul George is on his game, to me, I was calling him like top 12 when he was in Indiana.
He deserved it.
Correct.
And also defense. You know I love players that play defense.
But when his name comes up, what do people say?
Had to join Russ, had to join Kawhi, had to leave the Indiana Pacers, couldn't do it by himself, blah, 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 blah.
Same with AD, except he won it with LeBron. So he got moved into a different category.
Yeah, but he was the guy when he was in New Orleans.
I got you again. James Harden. In Houston, top 75.
Mm-hmm.
With the Nets, top 275.
It's wild.
You see what I mean? He was the guy.
That's a real what-if moment, too, because we all remember them missing, was it, 12, 13 threes in a row. They definitely should have beat the Warriors, one of the best Warriors nucleuses that they had. And that would have changed the way everyone perceives James Harden, the way people perceive the Rockets, the way people perceive it, D'Antoni and Maury and all that.
Wade was older. AI was slowing down. Paul George was ascending in his prime.
Mm-hmm.
James Harden in his prime. When you leave Indiana, you ain't the dude no more. When you leave Houston, you ain't the dude no more. And so this is why I've been saying, beyond other intel I have in my new phone.
So proud of
I got
new
a
phone.
New phone. Hey,
Jalen finally joined the 2020s.
I got a new phone. And so, like, that's why when I watch James Harden play, I see some disinterest. And I believe when, because I believe at some point they're going to get eliminated. I don't think they're going to win it all this year. When they get eliminated, I picked them to win the East, though, by the way.
I got to win the East. If KD comes back, it looks like KD.
KD's incredible to me.
Yeah.
That's
and
I,
and Joe Harris yeah. comes back. Yeah. Claxton comes
back. They got
back.
A squad.
They got a squad.
They got a squad. The Nets have a squad. LaMarcus Aldridge
mm-hmm.
has been a difference maker up front, and Patty Mills, those two picks.
Yep.
But my point is, so now you James Harden, you the guy. You leave Houston. He ain't the guy with Brooklyn, is he? Who the guy?
No, KD.
Okay. KD left the Warriors. You know why? He wasn't the guy. Steph's the guy. They won a championship, and they had a parade, right?
Mm-hmm.
They celebrating. And all of us like, oh, man, KD joined a 73-win team. Come on, man. When you go to the park, you and Steph supposed to be picking teams, not playing together. And then they celebrating, and Bob Myers gets to the microphone. You remember what he said?
Not exactly, but we've played.
He basically congratulated KD from joining their bandwagon.
Yeah, basically. And there's probably some drinks involved, little truth telling, a lot of smiles. The vibes are good. You say something like that. But once you say it into a microphone, you can't take it back.
And the rest of us knew If we didn't know at that moment, we knew at that moment.
Well,
he leaving.
Do you remember when they had KD in a hard hat walking through the new arena in San Francisco in his last year with the Warriors?
We was laughing. We were about like, that. We showed that on the show.
That's the only time he'll ever be in that arena.
Correct.
As part of the Warriors.
Correct.
And we all knew it. Now, so, Jalen,
he left.
Let me go.
I'm gonna be the guy.
Let me go first circle, full circle with this.
Okay.
Started talking about Donovan Mitchell and the Jazz and how they're underperforming. One of the things that we both like about the Jazz is their consistency. Same head coach, same nucleus.
Yep.
Their role players around the edges change, but they've been consistent with this unit, the head coach, and the philosophies.
Yep.
Could that be working against them? Because if you have the same head coach, the same unit, the same nucleus, and you disappoint in the playoffs for three straight years, maybe it's time for some change.
But that chemistry matters. But I believe it matters more in the playoffs than the regular season. So, and that's what they're going to be judged by. If the Jazz are on a 10-game win streak, you know what you look down at that paper and say? I still need to see what they're going to do in the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's what that nucleus has.
That's how I feel about the Bulls right now. I'm like, this is great. I'm so excited that they're the number one seed. It's great to have basketball in Chicago back. Joseph Sikora is excited about it. But like, check me when I'm wearing shorts. When I'm wearing shorts, let's see what happens with the Bulls.
But for me, the Bulls have different expectations than the Jazz.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, the Bulls have already outplayed their expectations.
Mm-hmm.
The Jazz expectations don't start to the playoffs.
And the Bulls are in the first year of this nucleus.
To your point.
And the Jazz are in the third or fourth year.
I mean, don't sleep. This is KD's third year with the Nets.
Is it, though?
It is.
I mean, technically.
It's his third season with the Nets.
Technically.
It's his third basketball season.
Third season getting paid by the Nets.
Since he's been with the Nets, the Lakers have won the championship.
Mm-hmm.
The Bucks have won the championship. And this is the third season. This is his third season with the Nets.
Sure.
I'm not making this up.
I mean, he didn't play for a season.
This is his third. This is the third year in that experiment. Right?
Yes.
And as I said from the beginning, I feel like that experiment ended up in Brooklyn versus Manhattan because he had to sit out that year. And that's what made Kyrie's decision the lead domino, because he had to play that first year while KD was rehabbing. I was there when he got injured. There when Klay got injured too. And so now that they're going to have Kyrie as a part-time player when they get KD back, this is their sense of urgency opportunity to try to win the championship, because for me, this big three ain't forever. Well, James left Houston from being the guy, and I believe he hopes to be the guy again.
Still wouldn't pick anybody in the East over them in a seven-game series if everyone's healthy. We got time for one voicemail. Call 985-80-JALEN. Leave us a voicemail. 985-80-JALEN. Leave us a voicemail, and we'll put it on the show just like this.
What up, though? It's your boy Tone from West Covina, California. Shout out. Reg the Ledge, always. Long-time listener. Recently, I've been read to the Gentlemen's Club, and I'm just curious. How many times in a month is too much to be hitting up the Gentlemen's Club? Bat single guy, you know, pretty young, 26. So I just figured, hey, let's get it here from the OGs. How much is too much, especially for like a normal working guy? You know what I mean? Again, shout out Red the Ledge. You know, keep getting them checks. Love the show. Listen to you guys all the time. Peace.
It's a great question from, I believe his name is Tone in West Covina.
Shout out to Tone. What up, though, L.A.?
Jalen, first
Cali.
Of all, you look at it, let me take this one first, because you've been rich since you were like 20, right?
21.
Okay, so he's a regular working guy. He said, just like your buddy Jacoby here, okay? Couple things. Number one, budget is the number one thing to discuss. There's a lot of variables in this equation. The highest weighted variable is budget, okay? If you've got enough to be in the Gentlemen's Club and still pay rent and bills and, you know what I mean, and live a normal lifestyle, that's the number one thing to consider. Number two is, one thing I don't want to have happen to you, Tone, is I don't want the Gentlemen's Club to not be special experience for you. Because the specialness, the gift, that can wear off if you're there too often.
Great.
If it does, you know what I mean? So like, you can't be a regular there, say hi to everybody. Everybody know your name. It doesn't feel like a special day or night if you're there 2 days ago, 3 days ago. So it's not just a budgetary thing. It's also like, preserve the gift that is the Gentlemen's Club experience, so you don't get used to it. To answer your question more directly, more than once a week, probably not a go.
What up, Tone? You definitely called the right show to ask how much is too much for a 26-year-old guy that's single that wants to frequent the strip club.
Regular working guy.
This is the the only person that you probably could get a better answer from than us is Luther Campbell. That's the only person that comes to mind.
Luther Campbell.
You know what I mean?
James Harden. Too short.
And here's what I'll say. Shout out to the OG Luke. I got to get him on the show. I would say Jacoby's first word out of his mouth was budget.
Budget.
And here's how I'm going to have you look at the budget. And by the way, the actual answer is you should go once a week.
Once a week.
So what you don't realize is the same money that you're spending in the strip club, you're still spending in your normal life.
If I go to the bar in the corner, I'm spending like $60, $80. If I go to a strip club, who knows?
Correct. But what ends up happening is you got to take into account. You're still out. So when you go to restaurants, when you go to happy hour, when you go to dive bars, when you go into all of these spots, right? You know what you're getting when you finish? A check.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You're still spending commerce. So instead of going to your favorite happy hour or your favorite Mexican restaurant or your favorite sushi restaurant, I advise you to find more than one strip club that you like. That's what Jacoby didn't say. So you live in Cali. Let me tell you how it was when I was around 26, for example. Say I would be somewhere like Atlanta, right? You got Magic City, Pink Pony, Follies. You got so many different places you can go.
Can't forget Strokers.
Onyx. That's where we met. We met at Strokers in Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? That's where we met. And so I would say you definitely got to keep the strip club experience into your schedule once a week. Not more than that, but it'd be good if you could find a secondary spot. So people don't make, what ends up happening is you frequent there too much, they start to become like dates. And so before you know it, the person that was dancing with you before you was buying drinks before with you, you become their customer. And you know what you want to be at the spot? You want to be an independent contractor. That's what you want to be. You want to walk in and you want to have a blank canvas. You want to have a blank canvas. You want to be able to survey the entire landscape of the amazing, wonderfully talented, beautiful ladies that are so strong, so flexible, so I just admire.
Don't get us canceled here, but
I admire that profession.
Tone, to answer your question before we get canceled, once a week is the answer, and we are back 6 days a week, one of which is tomorrow with a full best football weekend of the year, in my opinion. Four games, good games. We had six games last week. Were they good games, Jalen?
Quarterbacks, five TDs.
Couple of them.
Hey, you know what? Benny the Butcher was on his spitting facts yesterday.
Great. Shout out to Benny the Butcher.
He's like more touchdowns than incompletions.
We will. He's our senior Bills correspondent. Dog taking his job seriously.
He's crushing it.
We'll be back tomorrow with an adult pod to step to. Why is that, Jalen Rose?
Check out that Renaissance man today.
Who's on this week?
Dougie Fresh. Hey, yo.
All right.
We're not done. We're not done. Like the Blastmaster, KRS-One once said, we are not done. Got to give the people.